morning, everybody. It's good to see you. We're going to read the scripture together. It's still Philippians 4, still working our way through those first nine verses of the chapter, so I'll read those verses again. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And here's what it says. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And we've said that these are verses that talk about spiritual stability. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Stories told of a grandmother who wanted to visit relatives in another part of the country, a part of the country that was rather far away. The problem was that she was, at her age, too old to drive, and none of the relatives that lived near her could accompany her on that trip. And so the only way that she was going to be able to make that trip was to fly. Now, Grandma wasn't too thrilled about this idea of leaving solid ground in a big metal tube with wings, right? She was convinced that that contraption was going to fall out of the sky and crash into a million pieces. But her friends and her family members did everything that they could to encourage her and convince her to make that trip. And so they told her how safe commercial aviation was, that she actually had a greater chance of getting in a crash on the way to the airport than while she was in the air. And that's true. You know, they told her how they would get her right to the gate in her city, and that there would be somebody there at the gate to meet her. And she wouldn't have to walk. They'd provide a wheelchair for her. They told her how much time she would save by flying. Think of, you know, you'll get there so quickly. You don't have to drive all that way. And they finally reminded her how badly she wanted to see these relatives that she hadn't seen in a long time, and how much this trip would mean to her. And so after all this coaxing and convincing, they assured her that everything would be just fine, and she finally agreed to make the trip. And she did. And just as her friends and family had assured her, she had a wonderful time. It was a very meaningful trip, and she was glad that she had gone. And so when they picked her up at the airport, they asked her, kiddingly, "So did that plane hold you up?" And she grudgingly had to say, "Yeah, it did. But then she was quick to add, "It held me up, but I never did put my full weight down on that thing." Right? So we can laugh at that and realize how ridiculous that sounds, right? Put your whole weight down on it. What are you talking about? But how many of us as believers are a lot like that grandma when it comes to our relationship with God? Think about that for a second. We know that we are being held up, that we are being sustained, that we are being kept day by day, completely and totally sustained by the God of the universe. And he is far more trustworthy than any airplane that we could think of, right? But yet there's times in our Christian lives where we're still hesitant to sort of put our whole weight on the Lord. We hold back. And we say, I want to trust him. But we don't. And as a result, we're just not able to fully enjoy the flight, so to speak, because we're worried about what might happen somewhere along the way. Just like that grandma was. We worry about so many different things, don't we? We worry about our finances. What if I lose my job? What if I can't pay the bills? I can remember having conversations with people my age before our kids went into college. How are we ever going to pay for college and come out on the other side of this? Right? Will I ever have enough money to retire? Some of us are starting to think about. We worry about our health. What if I get cancer? Everybody seems to be getting cancer. What if I have a stroke? My dad had a stroke. What if I have a stroke? What if I have a heart attack? What if I can't continue to do the things I love? We worry about our kids. Are they going to get in with the wrong crowd? Are they going to be safe in this crazy world of ours that we see going further and further towards the deep end, right? Are they going to be able to get a decent paying job? Because it's not easy to support yourself, let alone a family, in our day and age and in this economy. And what kind of world are their kids going to have to live in, for goodness sake? So many things to worry about. And the list goes on and on. And if I were to ask you for a show of hands this morning to this question, who here has worried about something in the past 24 hours? If we were honest, I would be surprised if I didn't get a lot of positive responses to that question. Because for so many of us, worrying, unfortunately, just comes so naturally, doesn't it? But worry distracts us. It keeps us up at night. It isolates us from those who care about us most because we have to keep them at arm's length. And them and their annoying encouragement, right? Try to keep them at arm's length. It brings fear, and we miss out on so much of what life has to offer because we're preoccupied not with what's going on, but with what might happen. We worry about so many things. Now, Paul must have known that this issue of worry is a universal concern because in this discussion that he's having with us in these first 9 verses about spiritual stability, Paul includes these verses about this topic of worry. You want to be a spiritually stable person? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. And so today, we're going to recognize that indeed, there is a problem. We're going to see that there's a solution to that problem, and that there is an outcome or a blessing that will come as a result of the problem. Let's look at verses 6. It's 6 and 7. It says 5 and 5 up there. That's me. I did that. I reread this thing so many times. But do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, first of all, we ask the question, what is the problem? Well, simply put, the problem is worry. Now, I looked up the word worry in 4 different English dictionaries, and I was surprised to find out that in 2 of those 4 dictionaries, the very first definition, not one later down in the list, but the very first definition given for the word worry in 2 of those 4 dictionaries was something like this: to bite and to shake with the teeth, or to choke or strangle or harass by biting. Never heard that in terms of the word worry before. The other two dictionaries, the first definition was to feel anxious or distressed. That I'm more familiar with. But I found out that the English origin of this word worry comes from a word that means to strangle. Now, the Greek meaning of the word is, I find, very interesting as well, because it means to pull in different directions. That idea of biting and pulling and tearing. So to be worried or to be anxious is literally to be pulled apart, being pulled in different directions. So before we go too much further with this, I want to make sure that we're working with the same understanding of the difference between worry and anxiety, because the NIV and several other modern translations translate this words as anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious. And it's not that that's a bad translation, but I'm not sure it's the best one, especially in our culture, our modern day American culture. And the reason that I say that is that some people, they really do suffer with a type of anxiety that's physiological in nature. And when I say that, I mean that it's an anxiety that involves some kind of biochemical imbalance that can actually be diagnosed by a medical doctor and treated. That's not the idea here. It's not a problem that's just in people's heads. There's a legitimate physical explanation for it. And so I wouldn't want to seem somehow insensitive this morning for those that suffer with some sort of physiological anxiety. I wouldn't want to seem insensitive to those people as if I'm just trying to say, just do this and your problem is going to be solved. That's not the case. It's an actual physical problem. But for most of us, let's be honest, for most of us, it's not a physical problem. spiritual problem. And we know that. And so that's why I'd love to help us come to grips with this idea and this problem of worry today and to deal with it effectively. And so I hope you understand kind of where we're coming from on this. It's not to be critical or anything like that. So back to this word worry. It's translated as either anxious or worry. I'm going to use the word worry from here on out just because I think that's the best one. Another interesting thing about this word is that it's used both in a negative and a positive sense by both Jesus and Paul throughout the New Testament. So it's used positively many times. For example, in 1 Corinthians 7, 33 and 34, but a married man is concerned, there's our word, is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to please your wife. He's concerned about that. That's a good thing. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25, it says this, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. Same word. It's used in a positive way. We should have equal concern for one another as members of the body. It's a good thing. In the book that we've been looking at, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have no one else like him, like Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Another example of a very good, positive use of the word. It's good, and Paul meant this in a positive way. But there are also plenty of negative uses of the same word. Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus said to Martha, 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 the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You're worried and upset about many things, Jesus told her. Not worrying is better than worrying. She's chosen the good part. Not worrying is better than worrying. And maybe the best known passage on worry in the entire Bible, Jesus uses the same word in a very negative way again. He said in Matthew 6, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And before that, he had talked a lot about worry. The implied answer to the question, of course, is no. You can't add anything to your life by worrying. Worrying is actually useless. Now, there's a question that there's in our passage. There's absolutely no denying that worry is seen as a negative thing. Paul's not using it in a positive way. And so the reason we know that is because Paul says, don't do it. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. In fact, because of the tense of the verb, Paul's actually saying, stop worrying. He knows that they have been, and he's telling them to stop worrying. Definitely a negative thing. So concern can be a good thing, but worry is a bad thing. What's the difference? Well, there's a lot of differences. Concern focuses on us. Focuses us, not on us. Worry distracts us. One helps us focus on something. The other distracts us from what's really important. Concern helps us plan, whereas worry derails our ability to plan because we get so hung up on the thing that we're worried about, we can't even think about the future. Concern clarifies our thinking. It helps us to think through the issues and know what's really at stake here, whereas worry blurs our thinking because immediately when we begin to worry, we jump to the worst conclusions, right? Concern motivates us towards a solution, whereas worry encourages us to give up. It's useless. You ever have that attitude? You ever come to that conclusion? I can't do this. It's worthless. Whereas if we're concerned about something, it's going to motivate us towards a solution. Concern is realistic. Worry tends to exaggerate. Again, always going to the worst case scenario. Concern usually focuses on others, whereas worry almost always focuses on self. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, worry is wrong thinking, which involves the mind, and wrong feeling, which involves the heart, about circumstances, people, or things in our lives. We said it earlier, worry focuses on the problem. So worry is being overly concerned about things over which we have no control anyway. Should we be concerned about these things? Absolutely. Should we be worried about them? Absolutely not. Worry, in a word, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, is sin. Worry is a failure to trust God. That's what I think it is. Worry says, I don't think my Heavenly Father either can or will take care of me. So I'm going to bite my nails down to the elbows, right? I don't think my Heavenly Father either will or can take care of me. And so we need to call that attitude what it is. It's sin. It's a lack of faith. And it's sin. So let's stop saying, oh, that's just who I am. I'm just a little worry wart, you know. Maybe we are. Maybe that's what we are. We are little worry warts. But that's not what God wants us to be, that's for sure. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to relax and put our whole weight down on Him, knowing that He's going to sustain us. Again, Warren Wiersbe said this, worry is the greatest thief of joy. Paul has just talked about rejoicing. He's just talked about joy. I think Wiersbe's right when he says that worry is the greatest thief of joy. There's a Swedish proverb that you've probably heard before that says worry gives small things a big shadow. Easy to think about, isn't it? Because we've seen it in our lives. That's why we know this by experience. We've seen it in our lives. And when we get on the other side of that thing that we were so worried about, we say, why was I so worried? Worry gives small things a big shadow. It was Corey Ten Boom who said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. We know all these things are true because we've experienced them, right? So what's the problem? The problem is worry. But Paul moves on and he gives us the solution. So what's the solution? Again, very simply put, the solution is prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We know it's not good for us to be held captive by our worries, right? The world has come up with many, many different techniques to try to deal with our worries. There's all kinds of things, you know, techniques where you help a person who's suffering from anxiety to decrease the perception of danger by reshaping the way that they think about that danger. Sounds good, and I'm sure it works to some degree. There's this idea of relaxation therapy, and it's used to help a person who's very anxious to relax mentally and physically. And the theory behind that is that it's very difficult for the body and the mind to be relaxed and anxious at the same time. I'm sure it works to one degree or another. There's this idea of distraction therapy. Well, don't think about that. Think about this, right? Focus your attention away from the thoughts or the physical sensations that contribute to your anxiety. And I'm sure that works to some degree as well. But Paul encourages us when we have worry to take a much different approach to dealing with that worry. In a word, Paul says that the solution to worry is prayer. In Greek, Paul places the word nothing at the very, very beginning of the sentence. And it's placed there for emphasis. And so basically what he's saying is nothing be worried about. And the verb, as with so many of these that we've looked at in this section, is an imperative. It's a command. It's not a choice. It's not a suggestion, as I've been saying all along. But it's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's in the present tense, which means that it's something that are due on a continual basis. And so the way that the words are structured indicate that this was actually something that they were already doing, as I said, and that Paul was telling them to stop doing. So what he's really telling them, in a literal translation, is stop worrying and do not, under any circumstances, worry about anything. It's as emphatic as he can make it. Under any circumstances, don't worry about anything. But that contrast, in everything, worry about nothing, but in everything, in contrast to worrying about nothing, in everything, present your requests to God. Set your sights on God. Don't focus on the problem. Bring your specific request to Him and do it all with an attitude of thanksgiving. How do you combat worry? You combat worry with prayer. Paul says we're to let our requests be made known to God. It's an interesting word there as well. It's the same word as found in John 1:1, where Jesus is said to be with God. It's the idea of being face to face with someone. That idea of bringing our requests is like when we pray, we come into the very presence of God face to face with Him to tell Him what's on our heart. It's not that He doesn't know our needs. Of course He knows our needs. But when we come face to face with God in our prayers, it keeps us dependent on Him. It reminds us that it's not depending on us, but it's depending on God. Petition is just a fancy word for asking. Your version may say supplication. Again, just another word, another fancy word for asking. We ask God for those things that are on our hearts. We ask Him humbly, and we ask in accordance with His will. And we're told to do it all with an attitude of thanksgiving. Do all of that He just said, with an attitude of thanksgiving. We don't make demands, right? We don't order God around. We don't tell God what to do, because a demanding or an ungrateful person might put himself or herself in the position of a superior who's doing nothing more than bossing someone around, telling them what to do, making demands to someone who's below them in some way. But if that's our attitude, we're way off base. God doesn't owe us anything. We should approach God with an attitude of thanksgiving, because we realize that God has promised to give us exactly what He knows is best for us at any given time. And for that, we should be thankful that God's in control, that He knows what's best, and that He's giving us exactly what He knows we need at that time. So we're to do it with that attitude of thankfulness. So what's the problem? Problem is worry. What's the solution? The solution is prayer. Finally, what's the blessing, or what's the outcome? Well, he goes on to talk about it in verse 7, and he talks about the fact that the blessing is peace. The blessing is not that my problems are all going to immediately start to get better, right? They might even get worse. He didn't promise that everything's just going to get better. He didn't promise that all my problems are just going to disappear. They're going to be gone when I do this. He didn't promise that I will immediately understand why everything is happening to me if I do this. No, the promise is for peace. The promise is for that calm assurance that we're told will come into our hearts, will come into our minds as we turn to God and leave our concerns with Him through prayer. We focus on God. We remember that He's more than able to accomplish what concerns us today, as the old song says, right? We remember how much He loves us. And as we think of how much He loves us, He loved us enough to send His one and only Son to die for sinners like you. And we remember how wise God is. And when we think of these things, that in His infinite wisdom, He knows what's best for me at any given time in my life. There's peace that comes with that. With these reminders of God's sovereignty, these reminders of His love, these reminders of the fact that He is all wise, it brings peace to our hearts and to our minds. And so we're instructed to come to the Lord with our concerns. We're instructed to present them to Him in prayer with a thankful attitude. The hard part for most of us is that we do that, and then before we get up off our knees, we say, oh, give me those back, because I'm going to take them with me for the rest of the day, because I need something to worry about, right? We find it hard to leave those requests with God. We take them back up. We go about our day. I do it all the time. I suspect you do too. We need to learn to leave those burdens with Him. And if we do, we have promise that this will be our blessing, that a peace that transcends all understanding, that surpasses human understanding, some versions say, will come into our hearts and minds. It's a promise of the Scripture. Think about that for a second. How can I have trouble sleeping when God's peace is ruling in my heart? Think about that. How can I be afraid of what might happen tomorrow when I'm trusting in a God who is sovereign and loves me, sovereign over everything, and loves me as his own. How can I lose my focus or be pulled apart? Remember the definition of the word. How can I lose my focus or be pulled apart when the peace of God is guarding my heart? How can I think these thoughts that are so contrary to God's character and nature when the peace of God is guarding my mind and giving me thoughts that are true and right? A man named J.A. Bengel must have been a very wise man because he said this: prayer and anxiety are more opposed to one another than fire and water. It's almost like the two can't coexist. And yet instead of praying, we choose to worry. And I have to say, what is wrong with us? Right? If these two can't coexist, if they're more opposed to one another, why wouldn't we bring these requests to God, right? And so I had this concern that as I was preparing this message, that you would see this as very simplistic. Oh yeah, right, I've heard that all before, right? But let's face it, today's message can be summarized in two sentences that consist of three words. And here it is: don't worry, pray. Why'd you take 30 minutes to tell us that, right? Don't worry, pray. But then I thought, isn't that the beauty of our Heavenly Father? We have such a profound truth in such simple words. Don't worry, pray. So the question is, what will we do with this morning? What is it that you tend to do or that you tend to worry about the most? Is it your health? As we age, I think that's the thing that we worry about the most. Well, what can we do? Well, we can take care of God's temple as best we can and then trust Him to carry out His plan for us physically. He knows the number of our days. He told us that. Give those plans to God. Don't worry. Is it your kids? Is that what you worry about the most? What can we do? We can parent them based on the biblical principles that we've been given in the scripture. We can trust God to do His work in their lives. But the truth is, they got minds of their own. We can trust God, but we have got to give them to the Lord because they are His anyway. They're not ours. Don't be anxious. Don't think that you can control every little thing that they do because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Is it your future? Maybe you're young. You say, the thing I worry about is life in this world of ours. It's the future. Do you worry about that? Well, what can we do? We can do absolutely nothing about the future. We can position ourselves in places that will help us to get where we want to go. It's part of having future hopes and dreams. But we don't control the future. God does. And so we need to be able to trust Him. Is it something else that you tend to worry about the most? All I can tell you this morning is entrust it to the one who loves you enough to send His one and only Son to die for you. Don't worry. Pray. So I want to close with two more quotes. One was by a man named E. Stanley Jones. And he said this: worry and anxiety are the sand in the machinery of life. Oh, that's very graphic. Isn't it? Oh, can't you hear it grinding in there? Sand in the machinery of life. There's a Jewish proverb, at the risk of being gross, that says this: worms eat you when you're dead, worries eat you when you're alive. And so why would we allow that to happen? Think about this. Why would we allow that to happen? When the peace of God can rule and reign in our hearts, if we will just follow Paul's very simple and yet profound instructions, don't worry. Pray. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we desire to be spiritually stable people. We desire to stand firm, as Paul has instructed us to do. And part of that, Lord, seems to be not worrying about things that we can't control. Jesus talks so much about this. So today I pray for all of your people, myself included, Lord, that when we face things that we're tempted to worry about, would you help us, Lord, to do what Paul said. In everything, with prayer and petition, to make our requests known to you. To leave them there, Lord, not to pick them up and take them with us. And to do it all with an attitude of thanksgiving. These are difficult things, Lord. We need your help. We need the Spirit to do it through us. We can't do it on our own. We thank you in advance, Lord, for the peace that passes understanding, that comes when we follow the direction, the directives of this passage. So bless us with that peace as we give these things to you, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to worship you together this morning. We just love to be in your presence, singing your praises, hearing about the good things that you're doing in people's lives. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, that we would go with your blessing, protection, and care over our lives. And now remind us, Lord, one more time of those words that Paul spoke to us this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you as you go. Have a great week.